What's up, everybody? It is Final X Legends Podcast. We're doing another installment of our Billion Dollar Writers Writer Club. We have a wonderful writer with us today who is coming in with a good sense of strategy, who has a lot of work for us and a lot of insight. Mr. Rappaport, would you please kindly introduce yourself and tell us what it is that you write and what it is that you bring to the writing community?
Sure. My name is Douglas Rappaport, and my latest book, which is my third, is called Reckoner, and it's a novel. I wrote one other novel and then a nonfiction book. And then, like I said, this is my third book, which just came out a few weeks ago.
Ooh, nice. Yeah, right before the holidays really kicked off?
Yeah, exactly.
Nice. So you say you write fiction and you also have a nonfiction book as well. Real quick, on your nonfiction book, is that like a memoir? Is it a self-help book? Is it a cookbook?
It's like a combination of memoir, self-help, and like essays, like humorous essays, but little memoirish and a little self-help as well.
Okay. You're essentially sharing your advice and your wisdom with your readers. Wonderful. I definitely wanted to touch base on that real quick because I had a feeling that's what that kind of book was, which is something I'm definitely interested in reading. I'm fascinated with you know, all forms of literature. So I do like the self-help genre, especially when it comes from somebody that it has created the book to help people. So yes. And what's the name of that book, if you mind sharing?
The name of that book is Victim of Circumstance.
Ooh, I like the name. Strong. So the thing is, I would now like to discuss more about your fiction works. You know, like, this is your time. I'm about to give you the floor to go ahead and tell us, you know, the genre that you write. What the, you know, a little, it be as short as you can on what your book is about. Hook us in and definitely go into detail with your inspirations, your obstacles, and how you overcome those obstacles. You know, so floor is yours, Mr. Rappaport.
Sure, thanks. Thanks for having me. So my newest book is called Reckoner. It's a young adult / new adult book. I don't usually write that type of book, but that's what this turned out to be. You never know sometimes when you sit down to write what's going to come out.
Amen.
It's about a guy named Miles who is an orphan. He's jumped around from foster home to foster home. The book starts out with him in rehab. He's got the short stick in life. He's has a pretty bad attitude because of it. So he's not a big fan of other people, and he's just sort of an isolated sort of guy. And to make a long story short, he meets another guy in rehab named Sawyer, who's similar to him in that he's also a teenager, but also sort of had a bad time in life. But this guy is pretty much like a criminal, and he's very charismatic, and he woos Miles, heavenly influences him, and they end up breaking out of rehab and going on a crime spree.
Oh, man.
So that's a little bit about what the book is about. Just to get it started. It's a book that I was in rehab myself several years ago.
Okay. So that's where a lot of the world building and experiences come into play into your writer's craft.
Exactly. Yeah. I just wanted to write a book, about human connection, about people who are lost, people who are, not connecting with people. Which obviously very, on target for today, considering COVID and the pandemic, the lack of, at least physical human connection. So that's a theme that spoke to me. It's a theme I've written about before, my other two books, actually, sort of human connection and isolation, that type of thing. The book is... my new book, Reckoner, is told in multiple points of view. So you get an idea of these different people and their different lives, and how they're coping and suffering in their own world, and how the their worlds sort of connect by the time the book ends.
So it sounds like you were able to build characters, interesting characters, and be able to orchestrate them into a, you know, simple yet complex plot, and that takes a certain level of craft. How long have you been writing?
Oh wow, I've been writing since I was a little kid.
Same here. Same here.
What's that?
I said same here. Since I was very young. You know, I wrote my first book when I was about 12. I think that's, yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah, and what got me into, you know, furthering more was just, you know, having those friends and family members that was like, hey, whatever happened to your writing? What happened to those books? And I just,
you don't want to,
I'd rather say, hey, my book is on Amazon, you can go pick up a copy, or, you know, hey, I'll give you a copy of my book, rather than me saying I gave up on my dream, you know?
Sure. So how many books have you written?
3 so far. And I've just published the prequel to a series I have coming out in May. And you know,
cool.
Yes. Final Legends has been a story that I have been working on for a very long time, and you know, it is near and dear to me. But right now, Mr. Douglas, today is not about me. This is about you, your writing, and your inspiration. So, I know rehab played a part in it. What are the inspirations? Like, is there, like, what do you do for work that would also, like, inspire your craft? Like, fill us
I'm
in about
you. I'm actually a writer for work, too.
Really?
I used to actually work in the video game industry. I was a producer of video games.
What? were there any major companies that you worked with?
Yeah, I worked for all the big ones, basically. I worked on the first 2 Fallouts.
Oh, man. Like, what did you do? Like, what did you work on the storyline or some of the dialogue with that? Or was there like, you know?
I did different things for different titles. I started out in the video game industry doing sound, doing audio. So for Fallout 1 and 2, I was doing sound effects.
Okay.
Some voiceover effects, VO and voiceover editing. But I've been a producer, a writer. I worked on a lot of sports titles like Madden and things like that.
Oh, that's cool. you know, just as a man and a football lover, like I don't, when I have my video game systems, because currently I don't have any.
Me neither.
Yeah, it's funny. It's like the older you get, like, believe you me, like, I want to play games and I want to do it, but I just, Jesus, life, getting older.
Yeah.
I'm 30s.
My wife just gave me, that's sort of not true that I don't have any game systems. Like a week ago, I would have said I'd have no game systems, but she just bought this like classic arcade type of.
Oh, that's cool.
Thumb drive type of thing that you put in your TV and you get a couple controllers with it, and it's all the like.
Old school. Yeah. Yeah. I'm very familiar with that. Hey, you got a good wife there. You got a good one.
Yeah, exactly.
Grow old with her. Yep.
Yeah.
So, but. I don't even remember where I was going.
You were asking me about rehab, other influences and things like that?
Yes. Well, one of the things I did want to actually touch base on was your obstacles. Aside from the inspiration, you know, what obstacles did you come into to play with, you know, writing? You know, what was it, you know, were there any writer block issues that you had to overcome? Were there outside circumstances that affected you? Was the marketing aspect of it difficult? Was the social media aspect of it difficult? What obstacles did you face, and how did you overcome them?
Well, some of the obstacles I faced were, I met a lot of interesting people in rehab, and although the characters in the book are completely fictional and not based on anybody I met in rehab, I wanted to be respectful to that, especially as well as the facility that I was at. So I did my best to sort of, you know, write what you know, and write about the people and places that I was a part of, without giving away anything personal, and by respecting the institution I was at. So I did a little bit of mix and match and, you know, different geographical locations and things like that too. But like I said, I didn't write about anybody specifically, but at the same time, I was greatly influenced by really interesting people who I met who had, you know, tremendous backstories of the challenges and things they were going through that would force them into rehab, excuse me, to begin with. And like I said, I was in rehab at the time myself, and it's not like you have, you know, a computer or anything at your disposal. So I started writing this novel in the longhand during breaks throughout the day. And of course, none of it was usable. You know, by the time I left rehab, it was all pretty bad. So I ended up putting the book on hold for a couple of years, and then restarted it. It was pretty much straight shooting from there. I mean, I'm not the type of writer that outlines. I'm sort of a blank pager, mm-hmm. Which I really like. But in order for me to be successful with blank paging, I need to know the beginning and the ending. As long as I know those two things,
I love that.
I'm usually set.
I'm sorry. I got to interject real quick. That right there is what I want, you know, writers to hear, because what I feel like a lot of people, when they get into writing, they think that there's like a formula to it all. And yes, there are many different, you know, formulas, like the hero's journey, or you got like the shonen protagonist arc and stuff like that. There's all these different type of character arcs that exist and story formats that exist to be able to build upon. But, you know, truthfully, you know, I relate to you in a lot of ways, in the sense of a lot of my writing, you know, I don't need a lot of planning, you know, and the reason why is I can sit down and plan and create a bunch of characters and create their backgrounds and age and world build. But then as soon as I start writing, everything be changing. Everything changes. Like, I will plan for this character to be this way, but then as I'm writing, it flows into something else. However, what I will say is the planning part helps with that transition, because I have an outline of what I wanted the character to be. But as I started crafting that into words and then shifting that and weaving these words to where they can paint pictures in the minds of individuals that are reading, you know, that shifts and warps into other words and formats, and, you know, creating different things, which is cool.
Right.
But it's nice that, and I know you know exactly what I'm talking about, because if you're somebody who works more off of a blank canvas, that means that you got an idea of where you want to go. You got the beginning, you got the end, but that middle just changes the whole direction. Right. You know, it's like a river. It be bending and turning and breaking down and, you know, forking off and whatnot. So, it's funny. I just made myself think about a show called The Good Place by saying that.
But,
yeah. Have you ever seen that show? Side note.
No, but I've heard of it.
You should definitely watch it. You know, it's one of those shows that every adult needs to watch, truthfully.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of good things about it.
Oh, yeah, like, it'll make you smile. Like, I actually remember, like, getting through season one, and my cheeks were hurting from laughing and smiling too much. I was like, I want to watch season two right now, but the muscles in my face need to heal. So it's a really good show. It's funny. It can leave you smiling like that, but then also have you, like, having a whole existential crisis. You'd be like, what is life? What is the meaning of my existence?
Right.
So... what lessons do you like to convey, or what lesson are you trying to teach your readers through your story? That's something as writers, we all have something where our story isn't just some great adventure to throw the ring in the, you know, volcano, or for us to go on some grand journey to collect, you know, the Infinity Stones. There's always a deeper lesson that we're teaching. You know, what lessons are you trying to teach these young adults as they, you know, breach into your literature?
Yeah, I wouldn't say I try to get away from trying to teach anything. I mean, if people get something out of it, if they get just that a simple entertainment out of it, or if they get something more out of it, that's great. But there was actually a review I had of my book where someone just completely nailed it. And that's a good feeling, you know, to know that what you're going for, you know, came through. And this is a reviewer from beyondme.com. And it's just, I'm just going to quote one sentence from it. It says, "Lonely characters all in search of the same two things, love of self and love of others." And that sort of nailed it on the head. I mean, like I said at the beginning of our conversation, you know, my novel's about human connection. And so love of self and love of others is obviously key with that. So like I said, I'm not necessarily trying to teach anything, but at the end of the day, I guess, especially in light of, you know, news or current news stories that are happening, that in the end, people aren't bad, and people, I mean, there are bad people, of course, I'm not going to deny that, but people need people, and, you know, maybe say people, good people need good people, however you want to say it, but, you know, it's pretty easy with today's news going on to just say people suck and to hate people and to be like, forget people.
Yeah.
This world is doomed.
It's easy. That kind of thing. It's very easy. I'm glad that you mentioned that, and I'm glad that you were focusing on establishing that we do need each other. Something that highly exists in the human mainframe that makes us completely unbeatable is our unity and love, straight up. When we were kids, man, I tell you, no matter how big and bad the villain was, no matter how tough and hard and downright evil the antagonistic force was, it could never overpower love and the strength of human unity. And it's a topic that I do plan on discussing more in our podcast later on, as myself and other writers and the fan base get to know one another. But I personally feel like the division of humanity has actually, it's already happened. Human beings are very much so divided, and right now we're all trying to reconnect, and it's a very sad reality that we live in. Not sad as in like boohoo sad, which it is, but it is sad in the fact that we let ourselves get to this point. You know, like it's a very divided world. Like I'm gonna touch base on something that happened last year. Just the fact that we live in a world where, you know, a man can be, you know, suffocated on TV, and is, I'm gonna say something that I don't think a lot of people would be willing to say, but as upset as I was over the act of it, I watched that happen like everybody else, and there is a part of us that is just comfortable with being able to see that, and that's a bad thing. You know, we have fallen very far, and I am glad to know that there are writers out there and that there are people out there who are striving to reconnect the human soul, and because that's essentially what you're doing. It goes beyond the mind, the heart, the flesh, all of that. What you're essentially doing is taking the pains and traumas and experiences that you've been through, and you have illustrated through the use of literature a canvas that can be used to help people reconnect. And that's a beautiful thing. And it's amazing what you've actually done. And I actually very much look forward to picking up a copy of your book, because I myself have never been in rehab, but I have close friends that have battled with addictions, and it is something that needs to be recognized and rewarded when, you know, triumphed over, you know, sometimes we actually don't really give people enough credit for breaking through their addictions. That's something I really just thought about. Like, you know, I personally hadn't had an addiction with, you know, I'm gonna keep it real, with lust. I'm, you know, a charming guy, a handsome guy, and I have been through it all, you know, and it is, you know, I personally now live a celibate lifestyle, and that's the way I have chosen to, you know, come, what's the word I want to look for? To come face to face, you know, or contend with that, that addiction. You know, some people need to go to rehab and make that effort. You know, some people can defeat it themselves. And honestly, it wasn't even by myself. It was, you know, I mean, I have children. I love them and want to be a part of their life and want them to have, you know, a good, you know, motherly figure next to their father as they get older, you know? So it is, there's always circumstances and outside sources and small groups of friends, or maybe it is the rehab group or whatever it is that will break you of that addiction. But what I would like to ask you now is, if there was any bit of advice that you were able to give the younger you, the you before the rehab, before the writing, before all of that, any advice you could give to yourself that would have influenced your writing and made it stronger or been able to allow you to reach more people, like what advice would you like to give everyone right now?
I would say just write. I belong to a lot of writers groups, and I see all the, I'm on different groups and on Facebook, for instance, with lots of different writers, and I see some of the posts a lot, and everybody's like, you know, sort of what we were talking about before, like, do you outline, do you blank page, what time of day do you write, you know, all the different things, what do you do about writer's block and this and that, and then at the end of the day, you just have to write, and you can't think of the end result in terms of, oh, am I going to sell this, am I going to get an agent, am I going to get a publisher, what's going to happen, what if I get writer's block, what if I don't know what to write, what if, you know, I only write 10 pages and I can't go past there. The fear stops a lot of stuff from happening. And for me, you just got to write. Like I, you know, and we have our own 9-to-5 jobs, a lot of us. And sometimes hard to find time, you know, to write. And that's another thing I hear people complaining about a lot. And it's just like me, for instance, I'm not a morning person, but I wake up really early, you know, before my life starts sort of, and I write. And so by the time I start the day at 9 o'clock or whatever, I've already done my writing for the day. And so I've already completed that. I don't have to worry, when am I going to fit that in or what am I going to do? So I get up, I force myself to be disciplined. I get up and I write. And I, you know, I think at the end of the day, people just write and not think of anything else. That's what I would have told my younger self. Like, don't think of the end result. Because I, you know, I've gone through everything all the other writers have gone through too. And so there's good days and bad days, and there's good writing days and there's bad writing days, and you just got to write. And even if it's crap, what you write for a week or a month or whatever, it's going to get better. And it's not always going to be crap. And you just got to keep doing it. Write for yourself.
Amen to that. That is what I'm talking about. I just did an interview earlier where we discussed that, you know, sometimes, you know, it's not always necessarily like force yourself to actually write, because I've done that. I've actually sat in front of my laptop or my booklets and stuff, and have been like, bro, write, type, make something, and it doesn't come out. So right. What I've essentially done is make progress. Like, and progress may not always be actual writing. There are days where I have written and edited a chapter, you know, and yeah, I still got to come back and edit that chapter multiple times over because that's just writing. But there are times where I've pumped out, you know, 5 to 10K words in a day. And then there's some days, 2-3 days and back to back, where I'm like, I'm something's blocking me, and I feel like, okay, Josh, what do you got to do? My thing is music. If I could put on some, if it's a sex scene that I need to work on, I'm gonna put on some. I'm gonna put on The Weeknd. I'm gonna put on, you know, some Genuine. I'm gonna put on some R&B and just, you know, get in that mood. Then if I need to write a fight scene or something, I listen to some anime OSTs. I listen to more. I'm telling you straight up, whenever I write a fight scene, I put on Mortal Kombat. If you put on Mortal Kombat, the original soundtrack to Mortal Kombat, and write a fight scene, I guarantee you it's going to be the baddest, most toughest fight scene you've ever written. Oh, man. You know, and it goes on from there. Like, you know, like I said in one of my earlier interviews that, you know, you could be somebody who's very keen to the sense of smell. And you know, having certain type of candles or aromas around you may spark your inspiration. You may be somebody who needs to go sit at the beach and just take in that scenery for a while, or go to the park or go for a walk before you can allow that to come into you. Now, the thing about that I will touch on with you saying to sit down and write and make that inspiration come is the fact that you, what I dislike that a lot of writers do is they separate their writing from work. And what I mean by that is nobody like going to work. Let's just keep it real. But we get up and we do things that inspire us to go there. We drink coffee, we get ready, brush our teeth, take a shower, get dressed. All these little things get you ready to go there. When you first wake up and you're in bed, of course you don't want to be at fucking work at that point. You know, it's once you get ready to get there. So my thing is, writers need to figure out their own little in-between step between the work of writing and the daydreaming and wanting to do it, you know. And even if you're at, you know, you're halfway through your book or you're finished it and you got to edit, you still have to, you got to hack yourself. Identify your own psychological traits that make you effective with getting to that writing. Like, you know, try to think about a day where you did a lot of good writing. What happened in that day and what happened in the days leading up to that that made that happen? You know, there was a sensation that you felt in your core, your heart and soul, and something in your brain that released those good chemicals that made you feel good to be able to sit down and write. Because let's face it, nobody's ever really wrote when they're in a lot of, like, a lot of trauma or pain. Like, it's very hard to write when you're not in control of your emotions, you know? So at least for me, somebody else might be like Beethoven over here.
I don't know if that's totally true. I mean, I think everybody's different, obviously, but I think, you know, you could sit down and write if you're really emotional, and you might write some great stuff, or you might write some shit, who knows, but if you're feeling pretty emotional, I think that could be potentially a good time to write, help you get centered and things like that. Maybe
true.
More for everybody, like yourself, you just said, but.
Well, I think I didn't like elaborate. Well, I wouldn't say that if I wrote something out of pure emotion, and of course, it's nobody's first draft is perfect. But I just think the first draft is something I wrote from an emotional standpoint versus the first draft is something I wrote with my emotions in check. It for me is it works that way, because when I'm emotionally compromised, like I'm a weird person in the sense of, like, when I get emotional, I'm emotional. And that's why I keep those things in check, because those human emotions, man, they are something else. So,
right.
But yeah, like now I'm sitting there thinking about, like, all the great, you know, poets and whatnot that have written when they were going through heartache and stuff. And even right now, I'm currently going through, you know, a tough time with my current significant other friend person. It's all weird right now. You know, it's. You know, I love her. That's what it comes down to, is I love her, and we just got to work things out. But what I'm essentially saying at this point is there are times where I've thought about writing out what I'm feeling. But me personally, I don't even like coming face to face with those emotions. So I just just because I am a writer and I'm older and I'm aware of things doesn't mean I always got to face them. I can still run away from my problems.
You don't have to necessarily show anybody what you write. Like, you could write when you're feeling emotional, write about her or whatever, and just sit down and write for an hour and just sort of emote and let whatever comes out on the page, and it's to be just for you. You don't have to show it to anybody necessarily.
You are absolutely right.
And you never know, a gem could come out. You might like a sentence or a paragraph and be like, you know what, this is sort of a good idea for a short story or for a novel or whatever, or poetry or whatever. you know, you don't have to show everything you write to any, you know.
Okay, everybody, we had a short break, but we are about to go ahead and continue with our interview with Mr. Douglas Rapoport. All right, Mr. Douglas, you can go ahead. We had to take a short break there for a second, but as you were saying,
I'm wrapping it up, but I'm just going to say, like, it's you don't have to be like a horror reader or a Stephen King reader or a horror writer. Your stuff could be completely different, stuff you read, stuff you write, but mm-hmm. he wrote a great book on writing that I think is a must-read book. It's not that long. And for people looking for books about writing, I would highly recommend that book by Stephen King.
And then you also said that he had like a index section with all of the music and songs he listened to as he was writing?
As he was writing that particular book, yeah.
Yeah, see, that's amazing. I love that.
Yeah.
And that's something actually I would like to do, because I listen to a lot of music as I'm writing, and I think it would be cool. Like, somebody be like, oh man, I listen to that kind of music too when I write, and just allows people to bond with one another. But yes, we do have to go ahead and wrap this up. This has been a wonderful, you know, breakout moment for our creators. I love all of the knowledge that you've given us. Thank you for allowing us to learn a little bit about you, you know, your traumas through life and going through rehab and how that inspired this book. And I also love the fact that you don't even normally write young adult and new adult fiction, but that's what, you know, came from you. And I like that. You know, you may not even know the genre that you are truly built for until you actually start writing. So that was very cool to hear and to get to know. Is there anything else that you would like to say to the audience and the fans before we close out?
I don't think so. Just the book is called Reckoner. If you look on Amazon for Reckoner by Douglas Rapoport. Also, I made a Bitly link, a shorter link for the book for people to get to Amazon. And that's bit.ly/ReckonerBook. And that will get people to the Amazon page as well.
Awesome. For everybody listening, those are all his links. Please make sure to go ahead and check those out. I'm going to link everything in the description that he just listed. All of his links, his Instagram, social medias will be found in the description of this video. You guys, Mr. Rapoport will be back on in about a month or so. We are going to take a journey with him throughout this year and hear how he grows his novels and grows his fan base and connects with all of you. And if any of you out there write similar stories or feel that you are on the same path as him, reach out to him, connect with him. His links will be in the description. It was wonderful talking with you all. This has been another great installment on the Final X Legends podcast. This is the $1 Billion Writer Club. You guys have a wonderful day. I love you all. Take care and stay safe.